Don Jackson Blattner, what's the music you listen to when you're jamming? Who do you crank up?
Hey, listen, I love anything pop 10. You know, pop music that's like high vibe and like high energy. Yeah, so I mean, a lot of people don't have my same taste in music, but I like all the pop 10.
Pop 10, P-O-P, or top 10, T-O-P?
Yeah, top 10, but most of it is pop, P-O-P, pop.
See. Okay, yeah, so whatever's hot on the radio now, that's what you're listening to.
Exactly. And what a beautiful day to be in the car listening to the radio, windows down. Oof.
It says here on my notes, we're visiting now with Don Jackson Blattner, as we frequently do, and often on a Thursday, but today's not Thursday, because it says here you are guest lecturing at the University of Illinois, Chicago. Professor Don Jackson Blattner, what will you be talking to the students about?
Yes, exactly. Talking all about nutrition and writing books, nutrition answering questions on the radio, nutrition being on TV, how to take research and boil it down into something that is true and something that we can do. So let's see what I do tomorrow. Wish me luck.
Well, I think that's the, for instance, when you have counseled us, Dawn is obviously an author. She's a dietitian and a nutrition. She has lectured us at times. But when you do, you're more often telling us of things to do rather than not do. Rather than saying cut things out of your diet, you say put things into your diet that are healthy and good for you and that are delicious, right?
Hey, thank you for noting that, because it really is true. In the landscape right now of nutrition, most people are really just talking about what not to eat and the dangers of food and scare tactics and so avoidance, restriction. And so it really is important that we feel empowered, that there are things that we can eat that can make us feel good. And like you said, and taste good, because nutrition is nothing if you're not eating it. You know, you have to be able to eat it and enjoy it to actually get the nutrition. And right now, I'm sipping on some green iced tea right now, because all the sunshine reminded me of a study that says, hey, green tea is very skin protective. So, yes, I'm still wearing my SPF as, you know, topically on my skin, but drinking green tea can also help promote a little bit of internal sunscreen. So, that's a positive. I'm drinking that. I'm having a good time today, hydrating, protecting my skin.
You haven't talked to us much about vitamin supplements. Do you advocate taking vitamin D or vitamin C in little pills?
Oh, boy. So here is the biggest lesson that you'll ever hear from me, is that it is always a food-first mentality. So I always try to get myself, all my clients, everybody to get all the nutrition they need from food first. But I'm not a food-only type of person. That I do see there are situations where people do need supplementation, which, you know, the word supplement means it in addition to. So you need to have a healthy diet and exercise and sleep and stress management. But in addition to that, you can have benefit with supplements. And so it's a very individualized thing. But in general, we know one of the things you had mentioned, vitamin D is a sunshine vitamin. We get it, make it from the sunshine. But it is very hard to find in food. There's not very many foods with it, you know, egg yolks, some fatty fish, but many people have to get tested by their doctors and find that they're low in vitamin D and need to take it in a supplement because they just can't get enough in food, or, you know, they're wearing their SPF and not making enough from sun exposure.
Those of us who've had skin cancers, we button up. I don't get much sun exposure anymore, and the doctor said you're deficient in that, so I've been taking a vitamin D supplement. I hope you're not mad at me.
No, I think it is really important. You do food first when you can, and then if not food only, supplements absolutely have a place. And that's a great example of getting actually a level tested, finding out that you need more and doing it along those lines. So that would be an exact example of when to actually do a supplement.
This is from 608 area code. Hello, John and Dawn. I love fresh vegetables, but I like to steam them a minute or two before I eat them. Do they provide as much benefit to us if they've been steamed?
Yes, absolutely. If you steam vegetables, you are still getting amazing nutrition. slightly less vitamin C. So vitamin C is a water-soluble vitamin. So anytime you cook, it will come off a little bit. If you let the fruits and vegetables sit around, it will come off a little bit, but you're still getting great nutrition. Now, let me say the word I love in that question is the word steam, because we are not saying the word boil, because the big difference here is when you put fruits and vegetables that you want to cook into actual water and boil them, that is the absolute worst for leaching out good nutrition. So a quick steam where it's not touching the actual water, but it's just a quick cook, that's the way to do it. Absolutely perfect.
So do you prefer your vegetables al dente then?
Yes, I mean, that would be a great thing. I mean, first of all, super mushy vegetables don't taste great. So al dente is mostly preferred for not only taste, but also for nutrition.
Because a lot of times you just, if you get frozen peas or carrots or whatever, and you put them in a pot and you put some water in there, right? And then you kind of bring that to a boil. Am I killing the nutritional value then?
Hey, you could do better. And it's a one little gadget that I really love. It's a steam basket that you can buy that fits any pot that you have. And you can find these even at like Walgreens and CVS. They have these little adjustable steamers. And it sits probably an inch and a half, maybe 2 inches off of the bottom of your pan. So you fill your pot with, you know, only that inch or two of water. You put this adjustable steam basket in and then put all of your vegetables on top. That's wonderful, because then the water isn't so actively leaching out your nutrition.
I had a can of Progresso soup. I have it in my mind that Progresso soups are healthier than Campbell's or other store brands. I don't know why I think that. The salt content in there was amazing to me.
Oh, yeah, man. We just can't get around this topic. This is a nutrition big, big issue that's out there. Is we all are eating way too much sodium. And one of the big places that you can find it and really need to start watching it is in canned soups. And so one of the big things to look for on a label there is getting the low-sodium version of your favorite soups. And a lot of times, I mean, even then, the low-sodium version is still pretty high. So at the end of the day, lunch meat, breads, sandwiches, soups, rotisserie chickens sometimes, pizza, those are like the big places we get salt from. And so, you know, if you're sitting back and you're like, I don't have a salt problem, I never use a salt shaker, your salt is not coming from that salt shaker. It's coming from all the processed foods like that that we're eating. So, yeah, just try the low-sodium version for a little bit better numbers there.
I'm going to a steak restaurant in a couple of weeks. We got a reservation, and I know that's going to be loaded with salt, right?
Well, this is what they say. 80% of our sodium comes from the processed foods or the packaged foods that we eat and dining out. So absolutely, you know that when you're dining out, one of the things that I say is, you know, just try and eat small. You know, eat what you want, enjoy it, but know that, you know, even if you're trying to choose the healthiest things on the menu, you know, it is way more salt and fats and calories than you would make something similar at home. And, you know, of course, drink a lot of water.
Hey, John Williams, please ask her about Prime, the sports drink. The kids are obsessed with this drink lately.
Huh, I don't know it. I don't know what it is. Now, here's what we can say about sports drinks in general. We've talked about this topic, but sports drinks, remember, are great for people who are doing sporty, sweaty things and need those electrolytes and need the sugar. If you are somebody who is just sipping on sports drinks and you're sitting at your desk, This is not the occasion to have a sports drink. If you do want some electrolytes, you can buy no sugar, just the electrolytes like sodium, a little bit magnesium, calcium, potassium, and have it in your water. But again, you got to watch out. If you're somebody who doesn't want to have a lot of salt, electrolytes have sodium in them. So you got to pay attention to that. Now, the only thing I will say is if this is a sports drink for kids that has caffeine, I am against it. No bueno. So sports drinks in general, no matter what the brand is, pay attention to the sugar level, the sodium level, and whether or not it has caffeine, because I'm not interested in giving kids caffeine for sports.
Okay, 312-981-7200. Dawn Jackson Blattner, the dietitian, the nutritionist, the lecturer at UIC tomorrow. She's joining us today. I'm glad that you're listening as you are. This person says, I love Dawn Jackson Blattner. I now tune in and document all of her tips. Just like speed jokes, she's part of my must-listen at WGN Radio. 312-981-7200, Dawn Jackson Blattner joins us. So, Dawn, having said what you said about steaming vegetables rather than boiling them, 847 said, so canned vegetables are not good? What do you say about canned veggies in general?
Okay, so here's the ranking, really, is fresh and frozen have been less heat treated and less processed than canned. So they are better choices for all the nutrition, except you still get nutrition from canned veggies. So you don't have to avoid them totally. But if you're really like, hey, I want, you know, the best of the best, frozen and fresh are the less processed heat treated version and likely have more of, especially those water soluble nutrients like vitamin C.
Do you eat ice cream?
Yes, of course I eat ice cream. What do you think? That I'm a buzzkill? I'm fun. I am so fun. I mean, can't you tell? And that ice cream is part of a fun life. And I have found, and you know this is true, that if somebody is going to say, I am not going to eat this, whatever it is, I'm not going to have pizza anymore, I'm not going to have ice cream anymore, I'm not going to have cookies anymore, all it does is set you up to binge eat it and to eat tons and tons of it the next time that you see it. So the all or nothing attitude, the sort of diet mentality of restricting food, it really backfires. Everybody can attest to this. And so you're better off saying to yourself, hey, when I want ice cream, I'm just going to have a little. I'm not going to have a huge amount. I'm going to enjoy every bit of it. And I have something that I call social sweets that I really appreciate eating things that are like ice cream and cakes and cookies and pies with people, where it's the environment of pure joy and excitement and good vibes, as opposed to opening a can or a box of ice cream or carton of ice cream and sitting on the couch by myself, mindlessly crying into it, you know? So the idea of social sweets, making it fun part of your life, is really where, I'm teaching my clients to enjoy those types of foods.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because when family gathered at my house over Easter and we were talking about a variety of things, including food and how we're all doing, and a conversation between a couple of them popped up, and one of them said, well, I was so proud, I'd lost some weight and I was doing well, and then I started to, I forget what the precise point was, but it went something like this. I found myself, if I ate a cookie and I'm trying to lose weight, then I'm like, okay, this day is shot, so now I'm just going to have a bunch of cookies. And maybe tomorrow I'll have a good day. But once you sort of get off the bus, you stay off the bus for that day. And they were remarking how silly that is, but that's just their honest sort of mental game they played. And it made it so much more difficult. Plus, they felt terrible, you know?
Well, yes. And so this is, it's called diet culture. Basically, we all have been around it where that has been the belief. You either have to do things perfectly, which means absolutely no cookies. And if you do have a cookie, well, you screwed up big time and you got to start again on Monday. You know, you got to just keep screwing up and screwing up and screwing up. What's new, this sort of new nutrition philosophy of things, is don't start out with these ridiculous rules in the first place. Don't start out with the rule is no cookies ever. You know, have a different kind of rule where it sets you up for success. Like the rule could be, I'm going to eat cookies when I'm socializing and it's fun. Or another great rule that I love for sweets, or really anything that you consider less healthy, is to just have the rule of table, plate, chair. I think this is one of the most powerful things I've ever experienced, is that you can eat anything you want as long as you put it on a plate, go sit down and eat it like you mean it and own it. So a lot of times people feel bad for eating cookies because they've eaten one, two, standing up, then they're eating three over here, then they're standing in the, you know, cabinet eating another one. And it's like, of course you feel bad because you're eating sloppy. You know, so put all those cookies on a plate and own it and eat it like you mean it. And I'll tell you what, you don't feel so bad eating cookies anymore.
I still feel bad at Easter. I was walking around with a chocolate chip cookie in my hand like it was my passport. And I thought, this is exactly what Don told me not to do. And I don't know that I would enjoy going to the dining room table, putting on a plate and eating it. Maybe that's the point. Then don't eat it. But it did seem to, it did taste good walking around the living room. Simon has a question for Dawn. You're on WGN. Simon, what can we do for you?
Good morning. Hi, Dawn. I would like to get your astute advice on, so I've heard pros and cons on the cleaning of mushrooms. I know it depends on how they're stored, the type of mushroom, but I would like to get your sage advice on that. And I'll listen to your response.
Thanks.
First of all, wonderful that he's eating mushrooms. Mushrooms are excellent for us. And some of the mushrooms that are grown, you'll actually see on the label, it'll say UV grown, which means mushrooms, like human beings, can make vitamin D. So if you can buy mushrooms that say UV grown, that means that they have higher levels of vitamin D, which is a nutrient that I had said is hard for us to find. So that's great. When you're cleaning them, really the rule of thumb here is to take a damp paper towel or recyclable towel and go through and wipe the top, wipe the base, wipe in the little gills, and that is considered a good clean for a mushroom. The general rule of thumb for all other fruits and vegetables is under running water with, you know, pretty much aggressive hand motions. You're really trying to scrub your fruits and vegetables. But with mushrooms, you can be a little bit more delicate. But good job eating the mushrooms.
Hey, Dawn, as a person with high cholesterol, is it better to use real butter or Earth Balance, which has palm oil?
Okay, so here is the scoop with cholesterol. Please know it is never going to be one clear-cut answer, because for high cholesterol, it's really looking at what are you eating in terms of fiber. Fiber acts like a sponge to help cholesterol levels get sucked up and emitted, which is fantastic, which is what we want. So we really have to look at fiber first. That's like the most important thing. Exercise is huge for certain levels. Sugar content of your diet is also huge. So all those things matter. And then when it comes to fats, the better option always is going to be olive oil. And that is going to be better than the butter. So if you are like, I love butter on my potatoes, try olive oil. I'm telling you, it is absolutely delicious. Anytime you can swap out those hardened fats like butter, like the other alternative that they mentioned, any sort of margarines or anything that's hard, get rid of it for liquid oils. That's liquid oils, like olive oil, are the ones your heart likes the best.
Got it. Okay. We're going to leave it at that, but I'm going to start with this question next week. Can you ask Dawn the best way for women over 60 to lose weight? No matter what I try, I cannot seem to lose weight. Will you give us a couple of tips on that next week, Dawn?
Absolutely. What a great question. Yep.
I get the feeling she'll have something to say about that. Hey, good luck at the UIC. You're going to give a talk to the students. Lucky them.
Thank you so much. We'll talk next week.